Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, we've undoubtedly heard it before, but it seems helpful this morning, maybe even necessary, to remember that the Lord's clarion call, heard just a moment ago, his call to repent, is not a command or invitation to say, we're sorry, or a request that we apologize for having done something less than honest or noble. As a matter of fact, I may need to do that sometimes. Each of us may have to say, you know what, we're really sorry. But this command, and as a matter of fact, it is the first word attributed to Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. The first word, this command, repent, if you will, metanoiete in Greek, means to change your mind about something. It means to think differently about how God is at work in our world. Metanoiete, the kingdom of God is at hand. That was proclaimed a moment ago. Proclaimed God at work there and then as Jesus moved into Capernaum, a place where there was a lot of activity, so he needed to be there. But proclaimed here and now at St. John the Evangelist Cathedral, Catholic Cathedral, and then at All Saints, a little later this morning, the Episcopal Cathedral. Change your mind about how God works. If we're wise, we've all done that any number of times in our life. Changed our minds about something or other. Maybe significant, maybe not so important. But we have a history of changing our minds. Probably changed our minds when we discovered that some folks we thought were grumpy or hard to work with turned out to be really enjoyable, much to our surprise and maybe their surprise. We've changed our minds. We've changed our minds when we've moved into a new job, a new position that we thought either was going to be awful or turned out to be enjoyable, or we thought it was going to be great and discovered there are all kinds of difficulties we hadn't anticipated. We have changed our minds. We've changed our minds about something as insignificant as food, whereas youngsters, we didn't like it. We're forced to eat it, maybe. And then discovered in maturity, well, you know, it's not so bad. I have my own list, you have yours. Asparagus, you know, or liver. Thought it was awful, not so bad. We've changed our minds about neighboring Christian communities, once seen as enemies and rivals, now as partners. Some of us have changed our congregational allegiance, either because we moved into another area and liked the Catholic parish better with their liturgy or whatever, or because we have changed churches, finding in a new community somehow God at work. We've done that often in life. So when Jesus asks us to change our minds about how God works, to remember that God doesn't just come in at the end in anger to judge and punish, but to recognize that God is constantly at work in our lives. That God calls us two by two, mutually helpful people, to work together. Two by two, sometimes because we really do need and appreciate each other's support, but sometimes we need and eventually appreciate each other's criticism so that what we say together, and we try to say correctly. And together we are called to make the world a better place, as I often say, at least in our corner of the world. It was good news that Jesus proclaimed namely God at work. It was Evangelion, good news. God at work helping folks to maturity, to perfect each and all of us day by day, to overcome human divisions and bitter disagreements. For 12 years, I was very privileged, as I've said before, I was very privileged to be the Catholic co-chair for the National Lutheran Catholic Dialogue. It was a wonderful experience. 7 men and women from each side, if you will, coming together to talk about some serious issue, coming together for a weekend twice a year to review what had once torn us apart and made our churches better, bitter enemies 500 years ago. And then gradually, over the past century, to discover that what unites us is much, much more than what divides us. And that division might simply be corresponding reality and not division. But that's true, you know, as we look back at history. There was a time 500 years ago when Catholics and Lutherans, or Evangelisch, as they say, up in Germany, fought each other and killed each other. There was a time when Catholics and Anglicans in England fought each other and killed each other. There was a time in France when Catholics and Huguenots, kind of Calvinists, if you will, fought each other and killed each other. Back in 1910, there was the Great Convocation of Edinburgh. People from missionary communities across the world, especially in Africa and Asia, who got together and said, this division has to stop. And they didn't want to talk about doctrine. They just wanted to talk about getting along together because the divisions were getting in the way of the work. 2 years before that, here in the United States, the Paulists in 1908 had started the octave of prayer for church unity, recognizing that unity is a gift from God. It's not something we do ourselves, but we prepare the way for God to work. For each of us, faith is really important. So I guess we argue about it once in a while. But often misunderstanding each other, even presenting what each other believed falsely, we argued rather than listened. And that goes across the board. The Second Vatican Council didn't begin ecumenism, but blessed it and encouraged it. And then, for example, in different ways after the Second Vatican Council, the horrors of Nazi persecution of Jewish people was suddenly revealed in an unbelievable fashion. And Catholics had to say, we contributed to it with our forced ghetto residences in big cities. We contributed to it. I walked through the streets of Auschwitz with Jewish rabbi friends. It can never be the same after that. And so we recognized that Jesus was Jewish, fully, completely, and that we need to embrace that and not somehow figure a way to get around it. But that's also true, as a matter of fact, in terms of our relationship with Islam. Because, you know, there is some differences, but to take a close, respectful look at Islam, to recognize that the roots of Islam are in the 3rd century, when the bishop, Catholic Bishop Nestorius, in the Far East, said at the beginning of the Council of Nicaea, I'm not sure I can accept Jesus perfectly God and perfectly man. That's not in scriptures that way. I'm not sure I can accept that. And Islam today continues to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus and venerates Our Lady, but feels strongly about one God and everything that that entails. So once we've seen things differently, we change our minds. And then we realize, I guess we do have some things to repent. We gather today listening to the Word of God, the words of Paul in particular, that it's Christ who unites us and empowers us and changes us and sends us forth. That God wants us not to be exactly uniform, but to be united. And that's really what God calls us to do and to be today and every day of our lives. Not just individuals, but the whole church. The whole church.